The Bible says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. We read that verse Sunday morning. Verse number 2, I was going to read the verse anyway, but I think this verse ought to have some real punch to it in light of some of the things that's been said in the service tonight, and especially in light of the verses that have been read, particularly Isaiah 1, verse 18 and 19. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Could not have mercy. What about that? Do we need reminding of the verse? Let me read it. I'm going to read it again. That wasn't the verse that I'm aiming to preach at tonight, but Brother Brian, while you was singing that song, I was just looking at that verse and I thought, man, that is why we disobey. That is why we disobey, is that we lose sight of who He is. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? What about that? Who does he think He is to give me orders? Isn't that the attitude projected in verse 2 with Pharaoh? Who is this Lord that's given me commands? Who is this Lord that is telling me what to do? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And I've stopped that on purpose to make it more applicable right here to us. He said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? But I wonder what you could put in the place of that statement, to let Israel go. What could you put in there? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Maybe in giving up this. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice in, you know, sanctification or whatever? But anyway, that's stout. That's a stout verse right there, especially in light of this verse. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured. And we know what happened to Pharaoh, don't we? Because of his disobedience to the Lord and his hard heart, God had to send plagues on him. And not only he, but his people suffered greatly because he would not obey the Lord. He would not obey the Lord. Who is the Lord? I mean, that's the attitude of Pharaoh. That's the attitude of Pharaoh. A lost man. Who is? In fact, Pharaoh represents the devil. Egypt represents the world. And yet here we find his mindset. And you know what scares me, what troubles me? It's the same mindset of Pharaoh is the mindset of a lot of professing believers that are sitting in our churches. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? The Lord's told you to do this. The Lord's told you not to do that. The Lord's give you commands. You've heard preaching. You've been exposed to a lot of light, a lot of truth. And you're not obeying. You know what's coming out of you? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I wasn't aiming to preach that. That just got big to my heart. I wrote down right there while Brother Brian was singing. I wrote this down. Disobedience shows that you don't know the Lord. You're wondering who the Lord is if you're not obeying Him. Amen. Is that not what it said? Who is the Lord? He's telling right there, I don't know Him. I don't know Him, and the result is, I'm not going to do what He says. Amen. I don't know Him. Why should I obey Him? I don't know Him. God help us to know that disobedience, which a child of God can do, a disobedience seems to send a message, I don't know Him.
Who does he think he is giving this command? I'm not letting them go. I'm not changing. I've got a good setup. Pharaoh had almost 2 million people, slaves, servants of him, where he could lay back. I'm not changing. I'm not changing nothing. I like my life. I'm not obeying the Lord. Well, amen. Verse number 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us, we pray thee, 3 days, let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and notice this, and sacrifice unto the Lord God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens. Now we could read on, and we will reference more verses. But I want to make mention that Moses was trying to lead the people of God back to the place of his experience. Moses, when he said, let the people go that we may go hold a feast, he was referring to the mountain, Mount Sinai. He said, I'm going back to the mountain where the burning bush was, where I met with God, where I had a private time with God, where I had a secret time with God, where I had a quiet time with God. I want to lead the people back to the place of my experience. I want to lead the people back to the place where they have a place where they can have a quiet time with God. That's what he said. I want to lead them out to take them to a place where they can have a quiet time with God. You know what the principle there is? I'm just going to preach around here a little bit. You know what the principle there is? You can't have a quiet time with God in the world. As long as you're in Egypt, you'll be slaves, you'll be servants of Pharaoh, and you'll not be able to have that quiet time. You'll not be able to hold that feast, verse 1 says. You'll not be able to go and sacrifice to the Lord. You'll not be able to go to that place where you can have a quiet time and God speak to you and God sends you a message and you can communicate with God and say, I'll obey. You can't do that in Egypt. You've got to get out of Egypt before you can have that experience. And I was reading this, my devotions back some time ago. I saw, in chapter 5, I saw the emphasis of a quiet time with God. And I'm going to tell you, bottom line, we can say that RBT is experiencing the maybe a spiritual coldness or a spiritual decline, whatever you want to describe it, ever how you want to describe it. We can say that that's because of the devil and the fight and attacks. I'll tell you what it is. And some people that's more interested in the world than they are getting away to where they can have a quiet time with God and meet God with the mountain. Amen. And Moses was sent to Egypt. Moses was sent to Egypt to lead the people out and take them where? And where did they go? Moses took them back to the mountain where he met with God. Amen. Now watch this right here. I just jotted a few things down. Why was it? And by the way, let me just ask this question. Do you have an experience with God in your quiet time? And are you interested in taking somebody there? Do you have a burning bush experience that you would love for somebody else to come and know that they can enjoy getting to that place, but they're going to have to turn loose Egypt. They're going to have to get out of Egypt. Amen. They're going to have to be led out of Egypt before they can get to that place where they can have a quiet time with God. You can't have devotions in Egypt. You can't have a burning bush experience where God tells you to take your shoes off your own holy ground in Egypt. Amen. God sent Moses down there to said, lead my people out. Lead them out and bring them to this place. That's where he sent them. He said, bring them to this place. Why? God said, I want them to be able to come here and be able to sacrifice to me and be able to worship me and receive my word and, amen, receive my covenant That's right. First thing will go when worldliness creeps in is your quiet time. When worldly attitudes, when worldly aspirations creeps into your life, and I'm going to tell you as a believer, you'll have to battle that as long as you live. Because you're a two-natured person. You have the flesh and you have the spirit in you. The flesh is your hookup with this world. The spirit is your hookup with God. And there'll be a constant pull and a constant tug of war and a constant battle in your life between which nature is going to be in the driver's seat, which nature is going to be in control, and which world you're going to be hooked up with.
Right.
This one or that. The Spirit will never get you hooked up with this world, nor will the flesh ever get you hooked up with God. God said for Moses, you've got to get them out of there. If they're going to have any relationship with me, if they're going to have fellowship with me, if I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be able to work miracles in their life and rain manna down out of heaven, by the way, could I testify? Manna never came to Egypt. You'll never eat heaven's food on the table of Egypt.
Amen.
What's killing our churches, whether we like it or not, is worldliness and carnality.
Amen.
Flesh living.
Amen.
To be carnally minded is death. When spiritual death creeps into an individual or a family or a church, mark it down. But one thing that brings death in the realm of the Spirit, it's not difficulties, it is not trials, it is not adversity, it is carnality, it is flesh.
Amen.
Bottom line. Not hard to identify the cause of spiritual decline and deadness. I preached it Sunday night. It's that attitude and desire to go to Jericho and leave Jerusalem. That's the problem. Amen? That's the problem. But we don't like that. We want to be able to flirt with the flesh and have a fleshly life and a carnal life and a worldly life and then hold hands with God. No, that ain't going to happen. God came for the purpose. He told His disciples in the book of John, I have called you and chosen you out of the world. God's whole purpose, I'm telling you, you study it out. God's main purpose for saving you is to sanctify you unto Himself. I challenge anybody to show me that that is not one of the main, if not the main causes for which God, my friend, saves you, is to sanctify you, set you apart unto Himself where He can have fellowship with you and love on you and work on you, amen, and give to you, which He cannot do as long as you're in Egypt. The whole emphasis there for several chapters is, got to get them out. They've got to get out before I can be what they need. Amen. God help us. God help us. Amen. Quiet time will leave, buddy, when carnality comes in. Amen. Your devotions will leave. Listen, you can read your Bible and not have devotion. You can read your Bible mechanically. I've done it. We've all done it. Read your Bible before you go to bed just to soothe your conscience to say, well, I've read the Bible today. Or just cram a verse in here and there. No heart, no interest in God speaking to you. Amen? Listen, I'm talking about quiet time devotions, having a quiet time with God where you communicate with God, where God speaks to you. But the emphasis is in chapter 5 of Exodus, you've got to get out of Egypt before that'll happen. Moses, go. You've had a quiet time. You've had a burning bush experience. You've met with me. Your life is forever changed. Go lead somebody else to this point. You cannot lead people to where you have not been. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Moses didn't have to have a map
to get back to the mountain. God hooked him up with that mountain when God spoke to him, when God met with him in that burning bush, when God commissioned him, when God communed with him. His life was never the same. He never got over it. That represents a quiet time, a place, secret, private. Nobody was there. Amen. Hey, did you know this? Moses was known for leading the people of God out and all that, Brother Craig. But did you know Moses' great times was with God alone? He had a wonderful time down there, my friend, performing the miracles there in Egypt. He had a wonderful time right there. He had a wonderful time, my friend, seeing the Red Sea open up. But nothing ever compared with that time that he met with God on the mountain alone. Nobody around to distract. Nobody around to impress. He met with God. And you know what God said to him? Go get somebody else and bring them to this place of communion. You're either leading somebody to where you are, or they're leading you to where they are. Is everybody listening? That's what's going on in your life. Either you're leading others to where you are or where you've been, or else they're leading you to where they are or where they've been. Amen? Isn't that true? Listen to this. Three different times God said to Moses, let's just read them. I want you to know I know what I'm talking about, all right? Chapter 2, verse number 23. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God. Notice that statement. Their cry came up unto God. Then look in chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have, watch this, and have heard their cry. Look at verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, and this is chapter 3 on the mountain, God commissioning Moses, verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Three times. At least three. Where God told Moses, the reason I'm working is because I have heard a cry from the people. Now what's the attitude of Pharaoh? When Moses in chapter 5 goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in verse 1. Verse number 3, that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. That they may go a 3-day journey and sacrifice unto the Lord. You know what his attitude was? Boy, get this right here. Pharaoh's attitude was, oh, so God has heard their cry. They had time to be crying. They've got time to take a 3-day vacation and go and pray. They've got time to go have a quiet time. Then they've got too much time. Look at this. Look at this. Look at verse 8. Now I'm skipping down. I know you just have to read it when you get home. And the tale of the bricks, which means the measure of the bricks. The word tale means measure, or the tally, or the portion. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. What's this? Here comes the attitude. Here's what Pharaoh thought about the people. If they've got time to pray, if they've got time to go 3 days and sacrifice, if they've got time to hold a feast and a quiet time with God in the wilderness, then evidently they've got too much time on their hands. Here's what it said. They be idle. Therefore, they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice unto our God. Did you get that?
Pay attention to that. You see that? Pharaoh said, I know why they're wanting to pray, they're wanting to do this, is because they're idle. Amen. He said, for they be idle, therefore, that's the reason that they're crying, let us go. They're idle. That's why they want to go have a quiet time with Jesus. That's why they want to go meet with God. It's because they're idle. They have too much time on their hands. Anyway, the idea is behind that verse. Well, look in verse 17 again. You know this story. You know the story. He recognized them to be idle, and he thought, well, you don't have enough work to do. So he increased. You're going to have to start cutting your own straw. You're going to start gathering your own straw, plus you're going to start keeping up with the production, and you're going to have to do more than that. I mean, just absolutely overwhelmed them with busyness and with burdens. For the whole purpose, he thought, they're idle. They're wanting to have a quiet time, so they've got too much time. I'm going to put busyness in their life. I'm going to put burdens in their life so that they won't have time to go have a quiet time. Look at verse 17. But he said, ye are idle. Ye are idle. Therefore, note that word, therefore. You say, this is the reason you're saying, let us go and sacrifice the Lord. This is the reason. It's because you're idle. You've got too much time. If you've got time to pray and go sacrifice to the Lord and go have a feast to God, then you've got too much time, and I'm going to fix that. And I believe the author of busyness and burdens in our life is the devil himself to keep us from having time to pray. I believe that. Do you see that? Amen. I didn't get that study in a book. I got that in my devotions. I was reading that and I said, whew, boy, there's quiet time. There's quiet time. There's devotion. Moses is trying to get them to go back to his spot. He's trying to lead them into his experience where he's been with God. Amen. Amen. A lot of people are not going to be interested in following you if you haven't had an experience with God. Amen. Amen. Your life ought to be full. Mine ought to be full of reports that comes from the private life with God. God gave me this. God spoke to me about this. God helped me with this burden. God did this and God that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It'll do more for you than Pharaoh's favor. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, oh God, I ain't got time to spend time with you. I need to go down there and gain some points with Pharaoh. I need to go, because see, he's got the positions available. He's got the money available. He can help me. He can promote me. I'm more interested in Pharaoh. No. God, after Moses had a meeting with God on the mountain, his life was forever changed. And I'm going to tell you, whether it's in church, whether it's at home, amen, whether it's on the side of the road, whether it's in a deer stand, wherever, no matter where it is, if you ever have a meeting with God, I'm not talking about just read a verse or two and pray a little prayer. I'm talking about have a meeting with God. You know there's communication with you and God. And God is giving commands to you. God's giving commission to you. God is saying, this is my will for you. This is my heart for you. I mean, if you ever have a time when you know you're in the presence of God and you have to take your shoes off, as it were, because you're on holy ground, I'm going to tell you, you'll never get over that. Though the longest and the last day that you live, you'll never get over that. Amen. Amen. The reason we have low spirituality in our churches is because people, because of the Pharaoh, the devil that's in operation, he's the prince of power of the air. The Bible calls him the god of this world. Amen. Little G-O-D's, the little god of this world. I want to tell you, he sees if you've got time to pray, you've got time to go meet with God. He's saying, well, you must be too idle. Let me put some more burdens on you. Let me put some more pressure on you. Let me make sure you are busier than you've ever been. There's not a doubt in my mind, busyness is behind backsliding. I believe it. I'm telling you, and it may not be busyness with bad things. It may be busyness with good things. And you know the statement, you've heard me say it before, when good things gets in the way of the best things, it becomes a bad thing. And what is the best thing, Moses? Oh, let me tell you about that time upon the mountain I met with God. Nobody around but me and Jesus. Hallelujah. Got to meet with God. God called unto me. God spoke to me. God revealed Himself to me. Oh, I've never been the same. And I'm down here to make sure that 2.5 to 3 million other people goes there. Amen. Man, are you trying to lead somebody into your experience? Amen? Do you have an experience that you could tell others? Hey, come on. Let's go hold a feast of the Lord. Hey, let's go over here and sacrifice to the Lord. Come on. Could parents say that to children? Come on. Could husbands say that to wives? Come on. Could wives say that to husbands even? Come on. Amen? That should be the voice. God help me. I'm putting the pressure on me. That ought to be the voice that comes from your pastor. Come on. Come on. Amen? I've met with God. God spoke to me. God's helped me. This is true. This is real to me. God changed my life here. God said this and leads you and be able to say, come on. Come on. I can't lead you where I've not been. Amen? That ought to be true of the pastor. That ought to be true. Amen, Brother Craig, with the choir. Brother Craig ought to be saying, choir, come on. Come to my place, my condition of experience. Every Sunday school teacher ought to be able to say to their class, in essence, while you're teaching, come on. Come on. Get out of Egypt. Leave the world behind. And there's a God that'll meet with you if you'll leave Egypt. If you'll amen. If you'll let go of Egypt. God's got something better than the leeks, onions, and garlics and melons of Egypt. God's got manna for you. But you'll have to get out of Egypt to get it. God's got, amen. God can fly and quail for you. But you have to get out of Egypt to get it. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Most people will never go there because they think, if I go up there, it's a wilderness. And I'll starve. And I'll thirst. But God can take care of that. Moses, speak to that rock. They want water. Water came out of the rock. Gushed out of the rock. And the rock followed them. A lot of people don't want that quiet time. Folks, being a church member don't carry much weight. You can tell everybody in Rogersville, you can tell your whole family, I'm a member of RBT. And you can build it up and say, oh, it's the greatest church, and it's this, and it's that, and it's the other. Come on, hey, it's wonderful. But I want to tell you, if you don't have a place personally where you could say to somebody, come on, I've been with God, I know God's real in this place, there's a quiet time, but you've got to leave Egypt to get it. And your church membership ain't going to hold much water. It's not going to carry much weight. Amen. What a fire church up is people have an encounter with God privately. And we know who the enemy is. We know who the enemy is behind the busyness and behind putting the extra burdens on your life. And that would be none other than Pharaoh himself. Because his mindset is, if you've been praying, if you want to go 3 days to hold a feast and sacrifice the Lord, he put used therefore twice in those verses that uses the word idol. Therefore you've cried and said, let us go. So we know who's behind it. And are we not busy? People are running wide open. Everything in our life operates in the realm of convenience. Amen. I'm telling you the truth, friend. And I've done it too. How many of us ride up and down the road and it ain't nothing to see people come by you eating on the run. Run through a drive-thru. Don't even have time to get out of a car. Why? Ain't got time. Got to hit the road. Got to get it. Got to go. Listen, We've got more automatic things. We've got more flip-a-switch things. We've got more convenient things than we've ever had. But we don't still have time to pray. But Granny and Grandpa and their grannies and grandpas, they had to raise their pigs, amen, and their gardens and their chicken and make their soap and go to the creek and wash their clothes on a washboard. But they had time to meet with God and pray and raise children for Jesus.
Amen.
We're busy. We're wide slap open, running to and fro from the time your feet hits the floor. Say amen. Till, my friend, your head hits the pillow at night and then you go into a coma. Amen. And you get up the next morning to do it again. And before you know it, days have come and gone and you haven't been at the bush. You haven't met with God. You're more concerned about Egypt. You're more concerned about Egypt and all the work of Egypt and all the things of Egypt when there's a God out there that wants to meet with us.
Right.
Amen. Well, that's the message. Let's all stand on our feet. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. I ask you to speak to hearts. Speak to my heart. Make it real to us. God, that you're wanting us to meet with you. Whole purpose there was to let the people go that they may hold a feast to the Lord. And we ought to view our devotions as a time that we feast with God. It's a time, Lord, that we get alone and celebrate with you and have a good time with you. Lord, there may be people, no doubt there are, right here in this building tonight. Lord, has let their quiet time slip. They've been more interested in the business and the burdens of life. And they are getting along with you, spending some time with you, that you might commission us, that you might give us commands, that you might change us and challenge us, that you might use us, and that you might take us to a Canaan land experience. Victorious Christian living. Spirit-filled living. Lord, we're going to have to, moms and dads, grannies and young people, all ages, are going to have to turn away from the world in order to be able to go have a quiet time that would be in a time of enrichment in our life, of spiritual blessings that come from the presence of God. Lord, it changed Moses' life and it'll change ours. Many of the people we read about that were great, great, great soldiers of the cross in years gone by were people that made much of a quiet time with Jesus. Well, I'm reminded of one. I don't remember his name. I've been Hudson Taylor. One said he got so much to do, that he will never be able to get it done if he don't spend his best 3 hours in prayer. God, help us to know that truth. Speak to us, Lord, as we have this prayer.